This is the We Make Success Happen podcast.
Hello, this is
Public Speaking
Theatre Fun
with myself,
Matt Kalana.
I've always been intrigued by what makes people successful,
what success means to them,
and how we can apply their techniques to make our lives more successful.
This is the We Make Success Happen podcast with Matt Kalana.
Hello, thought I'd do a solo episode because I've been on this amazing journey of absolutely hating public speaking. It was honestly one of the worst things you could have asked me to do throughout most of my adult life. And I want to go through 10 things that have really helped me. And just to tell you where I am now, I absolutely love being asked to speak. I find it really exciting. I really look forward to it, which sometimes absolutely amazes me, knowing where I've come from. I've done TEDx. I've spoken internationally. I'm just finishing my first proper presenting job with the BBC. And all of these amazing things and a load of opportunities have happened because I've got up onto stage. I've had the bravery to start a podcast. You wouldn't be listening to me now if I probably hadn't have got over it. And all these incredible things have happened because I've got over that fear of public speaking. Now, when I was looking on Google, the fear of public speaking is ahead of things like death, death, spiders, heights, being eaten by a shark. I mean, there's even a word, a name for the fear of public speaking. It's called glossophobia, and it affects up to 73-75% of the population, which is massive. And I don't know about you, I mean, as I was growing up, there was no lessons, we had no real teaching on how to present. It was more a case of you will read a book in class in front of the others, usually when other kids are laughing at you. I was never taught to go, right, this is how to get confidence to speak in front of others. This is how to structure a talk. We had none of that. And I've heard it's changed now in schools and colleges, which is great because I think it's such an important and essential skill to have. So my fear really started when I was about 11. I was in school and my teacher was handing out homework, and this was history. And I was stood up. She called out my name and said, stand up. And I thought, oh no, this probably isn't good. And she kind of walked up to me and slammed down my exercise book in front of me on my table really hard. So it made a massive slapping sound. And then launched into this massive berating. And I could see in her face that she was so angry. And I thought, wow, what have I done wrong? And she just really went for it. And you could see all the other kids in class looking round at me. The class geek was like slamming his desk behind me like that and just laughing his arse off. I could feel real shame, attention on me. And I could feel myself going red in the face. And essentially, I had spelt a word incorrectly throughout this whole essay, and I didn't know why at the time. And it was only last summer, and I had a feeling about this, that I found out that I've got mild dyslexia. So for years and years I have mixed up numbers and spelt words incorrectly, some words I can't even say properly. And of course, in my brain and what I saw up on the blackboard, I thought I was correct, but this teacher thought I was completely taking the mick. And yeah, so she carried on this berating. More and more kids were like turning around and laughing and looking at me. And this public berating, I ended up going red, looking down, feeling shame, and to the point where I just started crying. And in my brain, I just wanted to run away. I had that flight mentality kick in. And from that episode, my brain basically just said, well, I don't want to do that again. I never want to stand up in front of others again, because if I do, I'll go red in the face. I will feel embarrassed. I might cry. So you can see that this unfortunate incident, and hopefully teachers have a better understanding of maybe dyslexia these days, but this horrible incident that happened to an 11-year-old had a massive negative effect on me throughout my whole adult life. I had opportunities to go on speaking courses when I was an adult, and even just the thought of going on a training about public speaking put the fear into me. So I'm going to go over 10 things that have really helped me to the point where I'm excited. When I get an email now and say, do you want to come and speak here? Or do you want to judge this? Or can we interview you about this? I'm like, yes, this is brilliant. And I've turned that fear into excitement now. So just to give you an idea of how bad things were, I actually had to be hypnotized in preparation of giving my best man speech at my brother's wedding. Not hypnotized to to do the whole wedding, but basically I went to a really good friend of mine, Matt, over in Bristol, and he hypnotized me, and we made some anchoring exercises, and we anchored in the talk going well, and basically played it out in my head that things were going to go well. And I had to be hypnotized for my own wedding to my lovely wife, Andrea, to do my speech there as well. And it was just to try and remove those limiting beliefs. So yeah, my first tip, and this is something that you may not all want to do, but there's another download that I'll recommend. So it's hypnosis is the first one. And this really dug deep into my subconscious. And so first off, we had to kind of deal with the problem in hypnosis. And it was this story that I just told you. And so what we had to do in hypnosis is reduce the effect of that negative situation and that negative memory and make it smaller and make it black and white. So it isn't as effective. And then what we did is we future paced, is in imagined the talk going really well. And also what he did, and I've since trained in NLP and hypnosis as well, is that we anchored, as in linked, some situations going really well. So I spent my 20s DJing around the world and DJing in front of like thousands of people. And so some people couldn't work out why I had this fear of public speaking when I could get up and DJ in front of thousands of people, sometimes tens of thousands of people, and look like I'm really enjoying it. And I did love it. But actually DJing is a completely different skill. You're basically hiding behind music, sometimes hiding behind booze. And also you're not picking up the mic and trying to inspire people or tell people a story. I was just playing other people's music. So it is a completely different skill. But what we did do is link situations or nights when I had amazing nights DJing and in front of that crowd and remembered the music and really felt and heard and saw what I was seeing in that situation. So they took me back into that DJ gig going really well and remembered the tune that was playing and the crowd having a positive reaction and cheering and screaming and clapping and having an amazing time. And then what we did do is then future pace to that best man's speech or my speech at my wedding. And then it basically tricks the brain, because the brain doesn't know what's in the past, present or the future, that we can trick the brain into thinking that the future has already happened or we're in the future. So hypnosis worked really, really well for me, and it set the grounding for doing a good talk. Now, the other download that really worked well for me was Marissa Peer, and it's called Overcome Your Fear of Public Speaking. Now, Marissa Peer is a hypnotist and a psychologist, and she works with loads of Hollywood actors, and one of her saying is, I am enough. So she's got some really good kind of books and programs out there, and she's got this MP3, I think it's about like £30 or something to download. Really worthwhile. If you haven't done any hypnosis before, it's basically like a relaxation or a meditation. Yeah, this download that you can purchase, I'll put a link in the show notes, really helped me. And it kind of shifts your thinking from the fear to excitement, because actually your brain, when you're trying to go up on stage, this whole fight or flight kind of situation, your brain is basically trying to protect you. So it's releasing chemicals into your brain and your body to keep you safe. And so it's getting your thinking around that actually those chemicals are alerting you, which is good. And also, it's kind of getting you ready. And if you can view that those chemicals as excitement, it's getting you ready. And then you can kind of realize all the exciting things that can happen when you do a good talk and people coming up to you after and wanting to do work with you or tell you that that talk was great, was inspiring and is going to get them to do this and has moved them, or if they found really funny or they were welling up or they cried. That is an incredible set of feedback. So Marissa's download is amazing. It's really good. It really helped me. And in the early days when I was still getting over that fear, it was a great thing to listen to kind of prep me. Yeah, if I've got a really, really big talk happening, I will probably listen to it a couple of times in the lead up to, just to give us that little percentage increase in terms of doing well and getting my subconscious and mindset right. So not for everyone, I wouldn't say, but hypnosis definitely helped me. And Marissa's download is a really great thing to have in your toolbox, your arsenal of getting you prepared to do a great talk. My next tip is to practice, practice, practice. And when I was first doing my talks, and I still do it now, I know some people can absolutely wing talks, like my wife, Andrea. She does lots of prep, but because she's been doing this for so long and she's a voice coach and she trained as an opera singer, she sometimes can go, well, I kind of know the subject. And because she's done it so many times, she can almost wing it. But I'm the opposite. I like to prepare. I like to practice. And what I would do, especially in those early days, is record myself on my phone or with a video camera, because you want to look at quite a few things when you're first starting. Is how do you look? Are you looking confident or are you looking at the ground? Where are your eyes going? What does your body language look like? And I think the more times you can look at that and honestly review yourself and say, okay, that looks a bit that looks a bit rubbish, okay, I'll stop doing that, that is really helpful. You can buy a cheap tripod on one of the online stores and just put your phone in there and just record it and just do it a couple of times. You don't even have to watch some of those early ones because it might be too embarrassing. But get over that fear of what you look and sound like and know that you are going to improve. When you're by yourself, you can just record the audio, use the audio feature and look at the timer as well, because that's really good skill to be able to do when you can tell your story in a certain amount of time. So yes, keep on practicing. And I know from coming from a video production background is that quite a lot of these presenters and YouTube stars would have started by recording themselves and not uploading their video. So I know YouTube people, when they first got started, to get them more confident and to know how to present and know their style, they would record 10 videos. Or I've heard of some people doing 100 videos. I probably wouldn't go to that extent. But recording themselves quite a few times before they actually went public. So yes, practice, practice, practice. You know your slides if you're going to use slides. Don't go too heavy on the slides. We don't want this whole death by PowerPoint. And also, yeah, just on that note, it's just keep the amount of information on that slide to a minimum. Sometimes I'll just use one photo, because that will trigger a memory in me and I'll know what story to tell at that point or what information to deliver at that point. So keep your text to a minimum. So practice, record yourself, set up the phone, record the video of you actually running through the whole presentation real time. And also, when you're actually delivering a talk as well, if it's not being recorded, and I do this quite a lot, is I will take that tripod and the phone and just record myself, put it in a corner, ask someone to kind of look after it, because actually watching yourself back, especially in those early days, is a really good tool to learn from. And actually you can watch it back and then go, okay, that first opener could be improved. Okay, they laughed at that bit. That's good. So maybe we should do more of that. Okay, I was probably looking too much at the screen there rather than the crowd. All of those things will happen. And actually, you may not remember all of those things unless you record it. So practice before and record it, and record it while you're actually delivering those talks. So my next tip, visualization and mindset. Visualizing your talk going well can make a massive, massive difference. So I will quite often, if it's a really, really big talk, I will go down to the venue, see if I can go to the venue beforehand when there's no one in there and just say, can I go out and have a look at the stage? And quite often people will say yes. And, you know, someone, a staff member will kindly show you around and actually go and stand where you're going to stand on that stage, especially if you haven't been up on that stage before. And while you're there, just take 30 seconds and just visualize the crowd there, smiling, looking up at you, laughing at the right times, clapping. And then also think about people forming a queue to come up and give you their business card or give you their details or telling you how amazing that talk was. Or that talk was really inspiring. And that is really powerful. That little exercise, just standing on the stage where you're actually going to be and visualizing a crowd of people there and visualizing it going well, that is really key. You do not want to go off on that stage and go, oh my God, this looks massive. You can say that at the beginning, but as long as you don't say that all the time and don't go away thinking, my God, that's going to be awful. You want to be getting up on that stage. And if you go, right, okay, this is big, this is exciting, because think of how many people I can potentially positively impact. That's a much better way to look at things and visualize the whole thing going well and have a look at where you've got to walk from and walk up to. You know, you want to just think of all the kind of little simple things that might worry you and just go, okay, where do I need to walk from if I'm backstage? Can you just show me? And then walk through and actually kind of do all those things so that when it comes to the actual day, you're going, okay, I've done this. And if you can't get into the stage or the theater or the place where you're going to do the talk, see if you can find some photos online, because then you can do the same kind of exercise, visualize that talk going really well. And the other thing that I do before a big talk, I will have a playlist, a Spotify playlist on my phone. And before the talk, I will be watching some of the other talks, but also I will go out and just have a bit of time with myself. And I will listen to some music that I have really powerful, positive attachments to. So stuff that reminds me of having amazing nights out or when I was DJing. And you will have music is such a powerful connection. So create a playlist where you've got some amazing songs that really put you in a positive, happy, joyful, exciting mindset. And that's really good. And you, so you can do that before your talk, you can do that in the morning, you can do that on the drive to the venue, you can do that on the walk. So it's really getting you set up into the right frame of mind. And the other thing which is really powerful, and this is what you can be doing while you're listening to that music, is looking through some photos of family members, of some friends that also trigger positive memories. So what we're doing here is basically we're kind of tricking the brain into a really happy and excited and joyful place. And another way you can also really amplify your brain and the physiology of your body is by, I watch some like funny clips. So if you've got some funny clips of like people laughing or little kind of comedy bits or stuff that's happened to your friends or family, I will favorite those and put those into a folder. And in between some of the music, I will either be looking at great photos or I might be watching my son when he was two and he was just like burst out laughing. Or I will watch really funny clips that I've just saved on my phone that I know that really make me laugh and giggle, because that is massively reducing any kind of stress or anxiety that you may have about giving this big talk. And if you're doing this online, you use exactly the same techniques and principles, because you want to get your mind in the right frame, the right positive, exciting frame of mind. So you can use all of these techniques to present online, because it's exactly the same. You're still having to use your voice, tell your stories, and hopefully inspire people and engage with people and make people laugh or move people emotionally. So all of these techniques can be exactly the same, that actually you can visualize the Zoom talk going well and watching all the positive comments come back. And that's something to also lead into, is keep feedback. So when you get feedback, especially online, or someone emails you or someone tags you on Facebook or Twitter or on social, screen grab those bits of feedback. And what I do is put those bits of feedback into one Google Doc. And when you need some reminder or reminders that you can do a good job on stage or tell great stories or inspire people, that is really valuable. It's not for your ego. This is to basically know and have evidence that you can do a good job. And this is really key when you're starting out, because there is always this doubt just going, did that go well? Did that connect with anyone? Was anyone actually paying attention? And yeah, you have people come up to you and tell you verbally, so you can put those in your kind of like memory story, like memory bank then. Yeah, if you get anything that someone has typed out and put online, screen grab it and put it in a doc. And that is really, really handy. So if at any time that you're feeling a bit of anxiety, look back into that doc and read through it. I mean, yes, there will be feedback from people you know, but actually it's when you get other feedback from people you don't know, that's also really satisfying, because that's like great evidence of, you know, it's not your friends and family going, oh, you were amazing, when you could have been average. When you start getting random bits of feedback from people you don't know, that's brilliant. So what you can do before the gig is be looking through this doc and going, yeah, I remember that. That's brilliant. Yes. And that just, again, is helping your mind get into the right mindset. And so before you go out on stage, you can be listening to your favorite music. You can be looking at some really nice family photos and friends photos that put you in a warm kind of glowing state. You can be listening to and watching some funny clips that make you laugh. And also, while you're listening to this music, it's be looking through this doc of amazing bits of feedback. So you're really priming yourself for this talk to go well. So yeah, keep feedback. That's another great tip there. My next tip is learn how to tell stories. And this is a learned skill. I know some people that can tell amazing stories, but I had to really kind of work at it. And do go and listen to an episode of this We Make Success Happen podcast with Bobette Buster. Now, Bobette Buster, I went on her course and it was life-changing. So she is an amazing storyteller, and she's brought into film studios like Disney and Pixar to help them tell better stories. And she's got two great books out called Do Story and Do Listen. And I think she's actually doing an online course as well about storytelling. So do go and check out Bobette Buster. Because if you can learn how to tell great stories, you can engage people on a much deeper level. You can inspire people on a much deeper and improved level. And it is a learned skill. And it does take time. Some people can do it naturally. Other people, like me, have to work at it. And watching yourself tell those stories or getting feedback on those stories, and you will improve over time. I've learned key aspects of the story that hook people in, that make people laugh. When to slow down and tell really important emotional bits, and when to speed up and when to get louder, because I was really feeling it. All of these things can help tell better stories. And a really good skill as well, especially when you're having to do a bit more press and be interviewed by people, is that sometimes you need to tell your story or talk about your purpose or your project. And they will say, right, we've got 1 minute. Tell us who you are and what your story is. And this is a really good skill to learn with your phone, and just hit record and go, right, okay, 1 minute. Who am I? What's my story? And keep doing it until you feel confident you can do that in 1 minute. Especially if you're being interviewed on radio, you know, or TV, because sometimes the time is really, really short. And I learned this the hard way when I was first going on BBC Breakfast News in front of, I think it's something like 9 million or something ridiculous. I hadn't learned how to tell my story because I'd never really been in front of the camera. I'd always been behind the camera, and I hadn't learned how to properly tell my story or talk about hashtags or get to the point really quickly. Yeah, I was waffling. My first ever interview, I didn't really get round to the important stuff. And I got cut off before I told the important stuff. I mean, luckily I was wearing a We Make Good Happen top, and most people found me that way. But it's learning how to tell the important stuff first, especially in live TV and radio situations, because never assume that they're going to ask you about a certain thing. It's best to get in there and tell your important stuff first. And any hashtags and potentially any websites, you know, get the promo in first. So learning how to tell your story in 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, all really good key skills. When you do your TED talk, you have to, I think it's 12 minutes, you know, and I've also done talks where you have to do it in 5 minutes. Like one of the hardest ever talks, I've done it twice, I think, is the Ignite talks, where you have 5 minutes to tell your story and the slides change automatically. I think it's after every, it's basically after a certain amount of time. It's not long. It's either 15 seconds or 30 seconds. But yeah, that's a really hard skill, but it's good to try and train yourself to try and tell a story in time with slides that are changing automatically, not within your control. After that talk, you go back, and where you can actually have a clicker and control when the slides talk, that feels like a really kind of joyous moment after doing those Ignite talks. So yeah, learn how to tell your stories well in certain time frames, because it's really key. And as the world is moving towards, everyone's pretty much has to broadcast their message and their project in terms of like recording yourself on video, recording yourself on audio or podcast, or being interviewed, learning how to tell your story in a certain amount of time is a brilliant skill to have. So leading on from stories is have a story bank. I have to have a Google Doc because my memory isn't brilliant. I will have little stories about certain subjects. So I'll have a Google Doc and I'll go, okay, there's a story there, there's a story there, there's a story there. So think back about, you know, if you're speaking from life experiences, I always say to people, think of like those really high points and those low points in your life. My wife told me about, there's a message in your mess. In those dark times and in when stuff didn't go well, you will have great learnings and stuff that you can use to tell people that you got through it, to inspire people, to help people through that situation. So think of those highs and lows, because you will have some great stories there and some great learnings that you can pass on and engage and emotionally move other people. So you put together a story bank of your best stories, or stories that you know work well. You know, if you're reviewing footage of you doing talks, and you know that one particular story really moved people or really made people laugh. You know, making people laugh is, some people find it easy, But when you do, you want to latch onto it, because laughter is a really easy way to connect with people and to break down barriers. If you can make people laugh sometimes near the beginning of your talk, that's a really great way to break down your anxiety, to break down the anxiety of the audience sometimes. So yeah, latch onto those stories and those bits in the stories where you know you've either moved people, engaged people, or made them laugh, and make that a key part of, or a key point in your story bank, and know that those stories work. And that's an ongoing thing, is add to your story bank. And sometimes when you're on radio, you know, you can bring up that Google Doc and have it up on your desktop or your laptop or your phone. When they ask you a question, and sometimes they won't tell you the questions or will ask you completely different questions to what you're used to, then while you're taking a little moment to respond, you can have those stories up on screen. You go, okay, I'm going to tell that story. That's a really good technique to have. And when you're doing your talk, know your start and end points. That's really key. How are you going to engage with people? Dropping into a story right at the start of your presentation can be a really good way to hook people in. So rather than saying, oh, thank you very much for inviting me up on the stage today. Yeah, thank you. The talk before was really good. I mean, most people would have turned off by then, because they're just like, oh, great, here we go. But if you go, it was dark, I was looking across and I could see some lights. They were coming towards me. At this point, I had two decisions to make. You know, if you started in the story, right in the middle of a story, that's way more engaging to an audience than going, hey, thank you very much, I'm so and so, today I'm going to talk about this, and these are the bullet points I'm going to go through, and here's the 150 slides you've got to look forward to, with loads of information on and graphs you can hardly see. Do think about techniques to start well. So starting in the middle of a story is a great way, and I've done that a few times. Not even mentioned who I was until after that story, which you can do. So think about some clever techniques that you can hook people in right at the beginning. There's a great book by the founder of TED called TED Talks, the official TED guide to public speaking, by Chris Anderson. He's the head of TED. And this is a book I read from when I was doing my TED talk, and it's got insights from people like Ken Robinson, Amy Cuddy, Elizabeth Gilbert. Yeah, so that's a really good book to get. And in there, they've got some techniques on how to start and end really well. So that's TED Talks, the official TED Guide to Public Speaking by Chris Anderson. Again, I'll put that in the show notes. So yeah, think of how you start and also how you end. The two of the most important things in your talk is how you start and how you end. So think about how you end. What do you want them to do? What do you want your audience to go away with? What's the one thing that you want to get them to do after your talk? So just think of the way you end. Is it to end on a call to action? Is it to say, go out and do this? Or is it to really get them thinking about that one thing? So do think about your start and your end points of your talk. So technical cock-ups, yeah, it's going to happen. So it's knowing how to handle that and how to deal with it, and also how have a backup. If you know your computer might go down at one point, have your slides or a schedule of what you're going to talk about and have it printed out, and just have it somewhere nearby that if the projector goes down, if your laptop goes down, if for some reason the slides aren't moving on, and just recognize it and say, okay, that's messed up, here we go, and just go back to your bit of paper, and then, or from memory, and just go with the flow. Because most people in the audience, if something goes wrong, they just want you to do well. That is the thing to recognize in the audience. Most people are there to hear you and want to support you and do well, because also lots of people know that there's no way they'd be up on stage. They'd no way want to be in that position because they know how scary it can be if you hadn't done it or you haven't done these kind of techniques. So most people want to support you. With technical mess ups is know that actually it's probably going to happen at some point, and it's just knowing that you've got a little backup. The other backup could be something on another computer, but sometimes that takes time. So it's also just going back to basics, like have something printed or written out that still got those endpoints, the endpoints, and you've got those stories and those bits in the middle that you know that you're going to talk about. And if you've practiced, you will feel way more confident knowing that you can go through this whole talk because you've practiced like 5 times or 10 times. So one of my biggest bits of recommendations is to get in the arena. Getting over this fear of being seen and being heard, because I really believe we all deserve to be heard. We all deserve to be listened to. So it's kind of getting over that fear of judgment and that fear of I'm not enough, because those are just limiting beliefs and they're not true. We all have amazing stories. We all have value and information that we can use to help others or to make a positive impact around the world. So the more people telling good stories and inspiring people, the better the world's going to be. So I want you to know, if you're listening and going, oh, I could never do this, I want you to take small steps to get you in the arena, because that is where some of the most exciting things happen. So if you've been asked to go on a podcast or be on a judging panel or to do a little presentation, and in the past you've said no for fear, I want you to say yes and then follow some of these techniques and prepare for it and plan for it. Because if you get up on stage and you're seen or you're in front of a camera or you're on podcast, you become the go-to person for that niche or that area, and you'll start to be seen as an expert. And it's like that snowball effect, because then you'll get more opportunities to do speaking and come on this radio show or to do TV. And so you start reaching more and more people and you start going to bigger audiences, and it just snowballs and it keeps on going. And honestly, it has been life-changing getting up on stage. And I'm still amazed. There's still part of me that's amazed, just thinking, how did I live with this fear for so long? Why didn't I get over it sooner? And I think we just have to know that actually, yeah, this is a known fear. It's a recognized fear that quite a lot of people in the world have. And so whatever stage of life you're at, you can get over it. And whatever stage of life, it doesn't matter that you're doing it in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s. Once it becomes exciting and you learn to enjoy it, once it becomes fun, and you will look back at some point when you're on this journey of getting over this fear, you will look back and go, this is brilliant. I love it now because I know how I can move people. I know it can inspire people. If you can change someone's life because you've had the bravery and got over the fear to tell your story or to go on a podcast and inspire people, and if you can change someone's life or make them take a different pathway, a more positive pathway, that is incredible. So get in the arena. Don't be that audience member for the rest of your life. Get over your fear step by step. Follow some of these techniques and get in the arena, because that really is an exciting place to live. And it could be life-changing for you, like it has been life-changing for me. I never thought I would get over that fear. And actually, sometimes having a purpose bigger than you, like with my kindness project, We Make Good Happen, that purpose was bigger than me. And actually, it was my wife telling me that it's not about you. That's a really kind of key thing to remember. When you're up on stage, it's not about you. It's about what value you can give the audience. What can you tell them that they can learn from? What are the things that you messed up at or failed at that they can see that there's a pathway through to success or to a happier place. So always know that it's not about you. And that was really helpful for me because it took the emphasis off me. So always just think, how could I entertain or inform the audience and engage with them? That's really key. So I'll leave you, know that we're always learning. Even the best people are still learning. Go and have a look at some of the best talks that are out there. And also really note that some of the best talks that you may watch, those are edited. So some of the mistakes are taken out. It's been edited to look super slick. I was really surprised when I found this out. I've heard from a couple of sources, and I think they've even admitted it, that actually those really big TED talks in front of loads of people are edited. And I know from people that have been in the audience and know that actually some of the bad bits or the mistakes were taken out, or the not so slick bits are taken out. So yeah, do go and learn from some good talks and from amazing speakers, because we're all learning, we're all looking to improve. And know that even if you improve just 1% or a few percent each time, over a longer period of time, that's going to be a massive improvement. And you will look back on those early talks and go, okay, yeah, I can see that was a bit rubbish or a bit average. And then you can go, all right, I'm at a really good place now. So keep learning. Well, thank you very much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed listening to some of those tips and you can apply some of those to your speaking journey from fear to fun, to really enjoying it. And also know to really enjoy part of the journey, enjoy that process, enjoy that journey. And if you would like some more one-to-one attention and help to get better at speaking, to get better storytelling, to find that inner confidence, not only in speaking, but if you need help in achieving the things that you know you deserve, then I have got a couple of coaching spaces available. I really love helping people and working with people one-to-one, and I can give you the attention and the ideas and the techniques to really take your life to the next level. So if you're interested in that, you can give me an email and we'll have an initial chat. I'll put it in the show notes as well. But if you send me an email, hello@mattcallinan.co.uk. Yeah, there's a few A's and L's in Matt Callinan. And I can speak to you about one-to-one coaching and really magnifying your life, getting you in the arena and achieving all the amazing things that you deserve. And I'd love to help you. So thank you very much for listening to today's episode. Do share this with one other person that you may think will find this of value. And if you haven't given us a 5-star rating or given us a review, but actually typing a review in really helps this podcast be seen by other people and helps to spread positivity and kindness and help people, good people, achieve more success in their lives. So yes, do give us a follow, a share, a rating, and a review. It's really appreciated. And I'll see you next time.